The shiur that we're going to be learning about this morning, the title in English thing with the Hanukkah is historiography. And he reminds Hanukkah, really what the historical basis for the celebration. And the truth is that most people are familiar with the story well, have a general understanding of what happened at that time, what's being commemorated. But if we get into the details of how the mitzvah, how the halachot connects to the history, things are not exactly as clear as you'd think. I think the average person, if you ask them why we celebrate Hanukkah, influenced by the Neirot, will tell you about the miracle of the Pach HaShem. The truth is that this explanation is justified in light of the Gemara, Shabbat HaChafal from Advent, which asks, seems to ask exactly this question, my Hanukkah. And answers with the quote from Gilat Tanit of the story of the Tamei oil and the finding of the Pach Shemen, and the miraculous lasting of that path for 8 days. Subsequent conclusion of the Gemara, L'shana Acheret, Kva'um Va'atza'um Yamin Tovim V'Halel V'Hoda. There are a number of significant points, I think, in regarding the Gemara's formulation of the institution of the Yom Tov. First of all, the double verb. Kva'um Va'atza'um. First thing you wonder is why two verbs are necessary. Kva'um Va'atza'um. Second of all, the plural. Not kava or kavu v'asa'u yom tov, but kva'um v'asa'um yamin tovim, and of course, this refers back to the 8 days that we're speaking about here. And lastly, the halachot. Kva'um v'asa'um yamin tovim v'halel v'hodah. Seems to be that the focus of Hanukkah is on these particular components, as opposed to other components that we're used to seeing by other yamin tovim, maybe most prominently, Simcha. Simcha is, of course, telltale sign of Yom Tov D'Oraita. And even the other Yom Tov D'Rabbanan Purim is a Yom Mishteh, which is unique to the term, but Yom Mishteh is the Simcha. And here's Simcha to mention. So on many levels, this Gemara seems to be particularistic, more limiting than we'd expect Hanukkah to be in the halachot that we find. Hallel and Hodah. Rashi, on this Gemara, it says something very important. We'll see that it's other Rishonim. My Hanukkah, al eze neis kavuha. So Rashi really understands the Gemara to be relating to the question that we're asking. What is the neis that serves as the basis of the institution of the holiday? Again, I want to explain the question that the Gemara is dealing with, according to Rashi, and that we're dealing with. A lot happened then. There were military victories. There were other nisim besides. Things that people thought of nisim besides the Pach Shemen. What was the holiday coming to commemorate? Which aspect of the event Chazal see as what needed a holiday to commemorate it? Okay, so definitely the nation of the Pach Shemen can be suggested as the basis for why we celebrate Hanukkah. But as we see in many other sources, it seems that other nisim were also taken into account. Of course, for those not familiar, the Gemara's quotation is from Megillat Ta'anit, a collection of different holidays that were instituted in Bayit Sheni to celebrate different nisim that occurred then. The reason most people aren't familiar with Megillat Ta'anit is that the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chet, that the Yamin Tovim mentioned there are Batel. They don't exist as Manoseh. It's just sensible because why celebrate minor victories in Bayit Sheni if in the end tragedy and destruction overwhelms it? The two holidays that are mentioned in Megillat Ta'anit are an exception and that continue as Manoseh are Hanukkah and Purim. The quotation, the beginning here is from Megillat Ta'anit. But, and by the way, note that in our version of Megillat Ta'anit, the verb is kva'um shmona yamim tovim. A, the addition of shmona in the formulation of the conclusion, and the single verb of kva'um. But Megillat Ta'anit continues and mentions many other nisim, many other events that were significant in, as a basis for the holiday. Chanukah Mizbeach. It mentions shiva shpudei barzel. Part of how they celebrated was took 7 spears and lit them in the Har HaBayit. Is this in lieu of the menorah? Is it other lighting of Neirot? For what purpose? And the Megillat Ta'anit concludes by saying, that's 6 lines, Umara'u l'gemor behem et ha'alel. What was their basis for deciding to say complete halel on these days? L'lametcha, shekol tshu'a u'tshu'a, she'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael, he'm makdimin l'fanav b'halel v'shelach. V'chein hu omer, sefer Ezra v'yanu kol ha'am b'halel, u'v'hodot, Hashem, here we have the tandem of the two words that are central in this source, Halal and Hodah, because of the Chua Chua, the redemption, being saved, not the nace of the Pach Shem. So one could conceivably respond, okay, it's true. Megillat Tanit mentions these other nisim, but that only highlights all the more the fact that the Gemara quotes only the first part and not the continuation. So it's true that there could have been a historical debate as to what the basis of Hanukkah was. But the Gemara, which is obviously what we base our understanding on, points to the Pach Shemen and only the Pach Shemen. But this would be incorrect because there's a number of other sources from the Gemara itself and other later sources that seem to highlight the victory as part and parcel of why we celebrate Hanukkah. And an indirect proof, I think, comes from the Gemara's discussion of women's chiyuv in Neros Hanukkah. The Gemara here in Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, famous Gemara of Af Hein Hayu Bo Toaneh, as a basis for women being chayavot. Obviously, this does not refer to some connection to the Pach Shemen. The women had no role in finding or lighting the Pach Shemen. Rashi explains here that the Af Hein is on two levels, both of which relate to the pressure and the salvation. Shegadru Yevanim al kol tulot hanisulot yivael letasar p'chila bal yad isha nasanes. Women were involved in the persecution. They were challenged, they were attacked as women, not just as part of the Gzeira, but Gzeira directed at women, and they were part of the Yeshua as well, not just included in the suffering, but included playing a central role in the Yeshua itself. Now the obvious question is, if the milchama, if the salvation is not the reason why we celebrate Hanukkah, then why would we care if women were involved in that aspect of the story? What this seems to imply is that the lighting of the Neirot is not just to commemorate the Pach Shemen, but that on some level it connects to the story of the Gzeirot and the Milchama that the women were involved in. And this is reinforced by the Rambam's presentation of the Chod Chanukah. The Rambam begins by telling you the story of the pressures that the Greeks applied on the Jews, and there's a lot to learn here from the Rambam's formulations. I'll just give you a small example, which has nothing to do with the Shir. The Rambam, in presenting on the second line, talks about how they attacked the Jews religiously. Ufashtu yadam b'mimonam u'biznotehem. And they took from the Jews their money, their daughters. Interesting that the Rambam speaks about pashtu yadam b'mimonam. Some people have pointed to this Rambam as a possible basis for the Jewish custom of Hanukkah gelt. For example, whether that's correct or not, it's methodologically an expression of the attention that needs to be paid to the details that people will present, that people present regarding the story. In many cases, the Rambam goes on to describe the pressure they were under. Lachatzum lachatz gadol ad shel richem aleihem alohei avoteinu v'chushiyam miyadam v'hitzilam. The Rambam here is the Yeshua, the Tshua Utshua, to use the lashon of the Megillat Tanit. In Halacha Bet, the Rambam does speak about the lighting of the oil and the miracle of the oil, but that's Halacha Bet. Halacha Aleph is mentioned here seemingly as part of the halachic backdrop to the celebration of Hanukkah. Again, this just reinforces what we see in the Gemara. If you look on page 2, we look at the liturgy of Hanukkah. If anything, the milchama is predominant in what we're speaking about, and maybe to the exclusion of anything else. The Al Nisim, Tefillah, we speak about thanking God for the Gvurot, Shuot, and Milchamot. Very basic existence of a common rubric for Purim and Hanukkah is also indicative of something. Purim is named Neis Pach Hashem, and it's the fact that we were saved. This rubric of Al Nisim, the Al Shuot, Al Milchamot, puts a particular spin on the events. And of course, Al Nisim describes, like the Rambam, the pressure and the success. Some people might point to the fact that it also mentions the lighting of Nerot, says towards the end of Al Nisim, Ufinu et echalecha v'tiru et mikdashecha v'hidliku Nerot v'chatzrot kavshecha. The truth is that this doesn't seem to be describing the menorah. First of all, because the menorah was not in the chatzer. It was in the ulam. If anything, this could be the Nerot we saw in Megillat Ta'anit, those spears, right, the lighting on the outside, as part of the celebration. But not the nace of the Pach Shemen. Even the tefillah of Hanerot Halalu, the piyut of Hanerot Halalu, which is said when we light the Nerot, mentions not the Nerot as the basis, but Hanerot Halalu anu madlikim al anisim v'al aniflot v'al tshuot v'al anilchamot, much like al anisim. So, not only is there a basis for recognizing the milchama, in addition to the Pach Shemen, there are sources which seem to mention only the milchama, to the exclusion of the Pach Shemen, which creates a little bit of confusion because it's not just the milchama is on the table, it seems that Melchama may be exclusively on the table, as opposed to the Gemara in Shabbat, which mentions only the Parshat. So more than just exploring sources which mention different bases for the celebration, commemoration, we have a problem that's developed in the fact that the sources don't seem to recognize each other. So that's really the question.
That Nisim could reflect the nace of the Parshat.
In what way?
That was a nace. Just like the Niklos and the
But you mean the word
Alanisa. Exactly what happened.
You mean the word Alanisa.
Yeah.
100%. But why in the lengthy piyut that we have, that we said, do we not make mention of it? If it's an important part. I'm not saying it can't be having it in mind, but it definitely knows nothing to express it. Yeah. So this basically is putting the question on the table of the relationship between these two Nisim. What I want to show you are two different approaches that the Rishonim took to resolving this problem. Both of the approaches, I think, are legitimate and have what to teach us. And obviously, Rishonim suggested legitimate. And what I want to show you methodologically is different approaches of how to reconcile between variant sources in general, which you see in play here and many, many other sugyot as well. The first approach that we're going to examine is the approach of the Rambam. The second, I think, can be attributed to Rashi in a number of places. So let's begin by taking a look at the Rambam. We're going to begin examining the sheet of the Rambam by considering the question of Simcha and Chanukah. And we already saw that the Gemara mentions Hallel v'Hagah and not Simcha, and it's surprising a little bit because Simcha we find by every other Yom. Jews, of course, have Simcha and Chanukah. We have all these parties, and it seems like it's been going on for a very long time. Now, why is an interesting question in and of itself. People living in lands where we live, where I grew up, we could possibly suggest all kinds of reasons as to where the Simcha and the holiday season comes from. The question is it a mitzvah? Simcha is always good, but is it a mitzvah? So the Torah quotes the Maharam Rotenberg, who also lived in a country where they had the holiday season, who said, Shiribu yihatsuda, shemarbin bahem, hein sudat harishut. Shelo kav'o or kav'u ela lehalel levodot velo mishnev simcha. He's looking at the Gemara, seeing it there as significant in what it mentions and what it doesn't mention. It's a rishut. The Shulchan Aruch passes it this way. Yivuyah sudot shemarvim behem heim sudot rishut. Shelo kav'um lemishnev simcha. And I assume that most people are familiar with the famous explanation of the Levush, of the early Pirushim of the Shulchan Aruch, about why there's no Simcha on Hanukkah. Maybe it's important to put the name to the Pirush, but I'm sure we're familiar with the explanation that Purim, the Jewish people were threatened physically. So the appropriate celebration is physical celebration. On Hanukkah, the Jewish people are threatened spiritually, and therefore the appropriate celebration, commemoration, is Hallel of Hagar. That comes to explain the Shulchan Aruch. Very convenient Rasha for Darshanim, very convenient for people who are trying to bring across a spiritual message, but it's more Sephardic than Ashkenazic. Because the Ramah here adds v'yesh omrim sheyesh k'tzat mitzvah b'ribuy ha'sudot. Interesting, the formulation of the Ramah. K'tzat mitzvah.
Where are you quoting that?
Second source, number one. Continuation of the Shulchan Aruch of the Ramah, the end of the first line. Interesting, the formulation of k'tzat mitzvah. That's how I explain the sad foods we have on Chanukah. And you think if you're formulating a time of simcha to express itself in, properly. There's jelly donuts, not exactly what you'd imagine. Something that brings simcha yet, this is with the accepted custom. Tzat mitzvah. The Ramah mentions the Chanukah Kamizbeach, which was mentioned, of course, in Megillat Tanit. But it could be that the Rambam connected it to something else. If you're looking for a source that predates the Ramah, and Rav Avraham Prague, who he's quoting, the Rambam is the best source. And the Rambam, as he usually does in his sugya, creates more problems than solutions with what he says, at least initially. The Rambam continues halacha gimel after the two halachot we saw introducing the history, like the backdrop to the celebration and commemoration. The Rambam continues, Umifnei zeh, hitkinu chachamim shebaoto ador, sheyu shmonat ha'amim ha'elu, shetchilatam yilal kamisha v'esrim b'kislev, yimei simchas zehalel. So the first thing we need to note about the Rambam is what's missing. What's missing?
Hoda.
Typical Rambam. You have a Gemara. Turn to the Rambam, it's a different ballgame. So where's Hoda? Second of all, it's what he adds. Simcha. Magic. And he doesn't say Tzad Simcha, by the way. Rambam would assumedly demand more than jelly donuts. He would expect cup of Joe and Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme Donuts, I assume, are even better. So, obvious question is, where does Simcha come from? So in the Rambam, I don't think there's any basis for pointing to the Chanukah and Mizbeach, because the Rambam doesn't mention it. But what did the Rambam mention in Perikim HaHalacha Aleph as part of the backdrop to the celebration? And for him the word celebration is appropriate. He mentioned the Milchama. And if you take the very explanation we saw of the Levush and apply it to the Rambam, you understand why you have Simcha. The Levush explained that you don't have Simcha on Chanukah because it's spiritual victory. Right? But for the Rambam, we're also commemorating the physical victory. So as soon as you change that component, the math. Logic should be Simcha, and that's why the Rambam has Simcha. The Ramah, in his Pirush on the Tur, makes this point, Dark Emotion, bottom of page 2, about how there's a whole additional aspect to Chanukah beyond what's mentioned in the Gemara and Shabbat. Or in other words, and I think this was the Rambam's approach to the sources, and how he understood Chazal's approach to the history. There were two reasons we celebrate Chanukah. Two independent reasons that function independently in generating different halachot. There's the Nes of the Pach Shemen. And because of the Nes of the Pach Shemen, Kav'u, Shmonai Yavim, Halel, the Hokah. So we'll soon see what that means for the Rambam, by the way. But that's the Goran Shabbat. There's an additional Nes. That's a reason for our celebration. Really our celebration. And that's the Milchama. That's not mentioned in the Goran Shabbat. We'll soon see why. But there's an additional aspect of Chanukah. Halacha Aleph, Halacha Bet, with halachot that are generated from each of those stories. Now, you ask, so why does the Gemara Shabbat mention only the name of the Pach Shemen if there's an additional reason to be celebrating Chanukah? That makes a lot of sense in light of the context of that Gemara. What's the Gemara dealing with in the second parak of Shabbat? Yadlikin. Gemara, for those who learn the parak, begins by discussing the Yerot Shabbat, and then tangentially starts comparing, turns into a whole discussion, Nerot Shabbat with Nerot Chanukah. Then asks, Maya Chanukah, what is the reason for this discussion of how Nerot Chanukah? That's how I think the Rambam understood the Gemara. So of course the Gemara is only speaking about the Pach Shemen, and only the Halachot that are based on the Pach Shemen. There is, of course, an additional other world. I think that this approach of the Rambam is reflected, page 3, in his approach to the word Hodah as well. This will reaffirm the approach that we're seeing here in the Rambam. We already saw the problem in the Rambam. Hodah just doesn't appear. What happened to Hodah? Well, I think we can understand this if we examine what Hodah means, both for other Rishonim, and then in contrast for the Rambam. Rashi explains, I think, what people generally assume the word Hodah to mean. Top of page 3. First of all, it's interesting to note Rashi's Girsa, Ta'asa'um, as opposed to Kva'um, Ta'asa'um, Chachi Garcia, and we know exactly what he's coming to clarify. Lo Sha'asu'um Yimelecha, Shilo Nikva'u, Elo Likrot Halel, Vilomer Ala Nitzim Bo'oda'a. Okay, Halel Bo'oda'a, Ala Nitzim Bo'oda'a. That's Rashi's Shah. Before we see what the Rambam actually says, can anyone suggest, based upon what we've already seen in the Rambam, why he couldn't have explained like Rashi? He doesn't explain like Rashi. But I want to try and anticipate together why he could not have explained like Rashi. If you accept what we just suggested in the Rambam sees the Gemara there as a compartment of Chanukah, not the whole Chanukah. The Gemara there is only dealing with the Pach HaShemen and the Halachot generated by the Pach HaShemen. Could Al Anisim be one of the halachot mentioned there in the Gemara? Because Al Anisim is about the Milchama. So the Gemara can't mean Al Anisim. Just to think in the Rambam's worldview. So how did the Rambam understand the word Hodah? There's one place in Hilchot Chanukah where the Rambam mentions Hodah, which makes it easy because you don't have to imagine. Right? The Rambam says it for you. At the very end, he concludes by saying, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Chavivah Yad Meod. Yitzarich Adam lehizaher ba, kidei lehodia hanes, ulehosif b'shevach hakel v'hodayalo al anisim. I'll just mention parenthetically because it's beyond the scope of the shiur we're dealing with today, but just improper to read such a Rambam without pointing out the nuances in his formulation, the different levels of what we aim to accomplish, lehodia, lehosif b'shevach hakel v'hodaya, seemingly two different things. Ala nisim, note, we're being modia about a nes, but we're being mosif, shevach, and hodaya al anisim. So you see the Rambam, there's a lot going on here. Maybe another shiur, another time. Bernie has to remind me that we owe a shiur on this Rambam and all the different levels of what the Neros Chanukah is about. Okay, in any case, Hodiya Hanes Vos Jilatara Vehodayalo Alamisim. Here's Hodaya. Here's Hodaya. The Rambam seems to understood, to have understood, that when the Gemara said Halel and Hodah, it meant through the lighting of the Nerot. Meaning, because the Nes is Fach Hashemen, we had a mitzvah to light Nerot. And what's the purpose and goal of lighting the Nerot? Halel and Hodah. Through the Nerot. And if you want a raya for the Rambam, you all know this raya by heart. Haneru talalu kodeshem. Ve'en lanu reshut lehishtamesh fahem, ela lerotam bilvad, kidei? Dula halel. Kidei lehodot, dula halel. We say it every day when we light the candle. And we're lighting them lehodot, dula halel. That's a Rambam view. The candles themselves are the means to halel and hodot. The Rambam limits the Gemara and its whole discussion to the context of Neros Chanukah. Before you ask or comment on this, I just want to show where the roots of this may be in the words of the Gemara itself. If you look at the Rith, third source on page 3, the Rith has the other verb, as the Gemara's Girsa. L'shana acheret, kva'um, chet yonim tovim. What's the difference between kva'um and achaum? Achaum means to create. Kva'um means to establish, to make permanent, to eternalize. If you have the verb asa'um, then it means that Chazal created a new means, like alanisim. They instituted something. They wrote a tefillah. Asa'um chet yamim tovim b'halav ha'odayim. But if you have the verb kva'um, they weren't creating anything. They were taking a phenomenon that already existed and giving it permanence. What already existed? The Nerot Chanukah. There were the Nerot that had lit. L'shana acheret, kva'um. They were kovea, these Nerot, as halal and hodaya. And of course it makes a lot of sense to suggest that the Rish, the Rambam had the Rish girsa. Interestingly, if you look at the Riyaz, in his Hebrew, so under Rish, he has both words like we have. L'shana acheret, kva'um, va'asa'um. Shmona yamin shomurim zalal, mozim alanet, v'hadlakat hanerot, u'mazgirin oto v'tfila. The Riyaz mentions both forms of hodah. He mentions both forms of hodah because he has both verbs. And I'll just add, and that's what the sources are about here, but we'll comments in a moment. Yes?
Just a quick semantic question. Our rubric here is hodah, and in the Girsa of the Rambam, he mentions hodaya. I'm just wondering if there's a significant distinction there.
It seems like it's a grammar question, you know, how you formulate the word hodaya and hodah. Hodaya in particular is one aspect of hodah. The word hodah means basically to admit and to thank. And the truth is right. It's a thanks that's rooted in acknowledgement, as a real thanks should be. Part of the reason people have hesitance to thank is because it implies dependency. So hodaya is more of the thanks version, which makes sense in light of shevach. But that's included within hodaa as well. So the most Rambam could be intending to specify the type of hodah we have in mind here. Okay.
According to Riyaz, the Kva'um is the Nerot, and the Asa'um is the Tfilah.
Well, he doesn't explain, but that's what I suggest because of the fact that we have in Rashi, Asa'um with Tfilah, and in the Rambam, Rit, Kva'um with the Nerot. I'm using the Riyaz to show that the double verb could imply a double form. I think that's the direction. Of course, he doesn't explain it. Yeah. It could very well be, and this is the point of why I bring in these additional sources here in number 3, that the Nerot as a whole were a form of celebration. The Nerot as a whole were Halel and Hodah. That lights were lit even then, continuing today, as the Rambam says, as a form of Kedei Lahodot Ulahalel. We find in Sefer Yirmiyah the Or HaNer is being a sign of Simcha. Yirmiyah is talking about the pending Churban. He says, "Ivadati mehem kol sason v'kol simcha, kol fatan v'kol kala, kol rechaim v'or haner." The kol and the or of the ner, and what they added to the celebration. Tosfot explains regarding this pasuk, Sanhedrin, that gam b'rishona hayu osim simanim elu it's referring to the Kol Rechaim, the Oran Er, L'Shem Simcha. L'Shem Simcha. The lighting, it's a way of celebrating. And of course, the more that you have the Neiros Chanukah as the central way of expressing the Halo V'Hodah, the more you see the Neiros Chanukah as the basic component of what defines Chanukah. This is a major question in the sugya of Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chet Amud Aleph. It's a bit tangential. Those who want to pursue it further, got the sources here as to what extent Chanukah is the Neiros, or Chanukah is a holiday with Neiros as part of the expression. To summarize the approach of the Rambam, then we'll turn to page 4 and see the approach of Rashi. Basically, I think the way he dealt with these two opposing narratives, or really, truth, complementary narratives, but distinct, is seeing two bases for celebration, each one working really separately to generate different halachot. The Neirot, based on the Pach Shemen, Hal and Hodah, the Simcha, based on the Milchama, and a celebration. Okay, let's turn to page 4. We can take a look at Rashi's approach to this. We already saw Rashi sees the Gemara in Shabbat, which is back at page 1, as a very broad question. It's not asking, why do we light the Neirot? My Chanukah, Rashi explains, Al Eze Neish Kavuha. What's the basis of Chanukah? So Rashi has a very expansive understanding of the Gemara. So I would conclude based on Rashi. The reason we say Hallel, the reason we say Al Anitzim, is the Neish Pach Hashem. However, if you take a look at Rashi's Pirush Megmar and Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, you get the opposite impression. The Gemara there is, of course, discussing Hallel, that's recited to celebrate a Yeshua. Speaks about how the Nevi'im, from Itakin, that any Tzara V'Tzara that the Jews are saved from, L'Cheshen Nigalim, Omrin Oto Al Geulatan. Say Hallel, celebrate the Geula. Of course, this is the basis for, this has been the basis for saying Hallel throughout the generations, when the Jews were saved from various threats, and Kal Chomer, Yom HaTzmut and Yom Yerushalayim. Of course, I'm sure these topics have been studied very much at length here, but I think ludicrous is a fair word to say for people's hesitation to say Hallel for Yom HaTzmut, at least without a bracha, considering the fact that Hallel was said throughout the generations for all kinds of little, relatively minor challenges, or minor for the people who had them, but you know, small, relatively speaking, dangers. Of course, the famous example of Chaya Adam, as you mentioned, things like Dhamma, talks about how his house lit on fire, and thankfully they always put it out, and he was saved, and he was saved, and the house was saved, and from that day and on, every year he said Hallel. Now, any offense intended to the home of the Chaya Adam, assumedly the saving of the home of the entire Jewish people, would warrant at least the saying of Hallel. So again, we're well familiar with the historical sensitivities and confusion that's existed in the last 100 years based on a lot of good reason. But this is the source for the saying of Hallel for Yeshua. So Rashi, well, the Gemara asks that in Megillah Daf Yud.
The Kriya Satara, but the Kriya Satara doesn't express the Megillah. But if it's so definite, I'll call Sarva, Shalom, Tavo, Alein, it's very strong language.
Right. So you're saying it should apply even on Purim. You're right. There are people who discuss the relationship between this Gemara and the Gemara in Megillah, but ultimately we have the Gemara in Megillah, which gives three answers, by the way. Akati Avdei Achashverosh, so we weren't really redeemed from the Tzara, like the Jews in the Middle Ages. They might have removed the threat, the imminent threat of this Tzar, but they're still being ruled by the next Tzar, who can, the next day, with his whim, reapply the Gzera. Gemara talks about the difference between being in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, which, of course, in the case of Yom HaTzmut, would reaffirm. And, of course, that the Megillah, the reading of the Megillah, is the Hallel. Okay. My mistake of opening the Pandora's box. Going back to Rashi, Rashi explains what a Tzara means. And then he decides to give an example of a situation where the Jews were saved from a Tzara, and therefore they say Hallel. Kigon Chanukah. Now, these words, Kigon Chanukah, by the way, are very important beyond Chanukah. For example, people discuss saying Hallel Yom HaTzmut, they want to know, what does Kigon Chanukah mean? Meaning, what are the parameters Rashi is trying to teach you by using Chanukah as an example? Okay, but in any case, Rashi here seems to imply that the recitation of Hallel on Chanukah is connected to the fact that the Jews were saved. I thought we say Hallel on Chanukah because of the nais of the Pashemin. And here, the problem is even sharper than it was according to the Rambam. Because for the Rambam, we had a simple solution of different events generate different halachot. Here, we're talking about the same halacha, the citation of halach, being linked to different events. So what conclusion are you forced to reach in explaining Rashi? Rashi holds, somehow, different events together generate the same halachot. That's why Rashi's approach is more integrative. It's not different stories with different implications. It's different stories together forging the same halachot. Now the question is how? It's easy to say the word. How do they work together? So I'd like to suggest two approaches on how to explain Rashi. First, we'll begin with, is relatively speaking, keeping the stories more separate, relatively. And the final approach is one that brings the two stories together in a complete way, which is ultimately what you look for when you deal with different factors, to see them work together hand in hand. Let's begin with the first approach, the approach of the Pre-Chadash. Pre-Chadash doesn't suggest this particularly regarding Rashi. I think what he says works very nicely for Rashi. The Pre-Chadash suggestion is really a response to the famous Kasha of the Beit Yosef. Right? People familiar with the Kasha of the Beit Yosef from Hanukkah. You might have heard the Kasha, but not had heard it attributed to the Beit Yosef. He asks why the celebration is for 8 days. After all, they had enough oil for one day. So the celebration should have been for the additional 7 days. Now, of course, we remember this Kasha. So many answers have been given to that question. That a Sefer was published recently. Over 100 answers. It's become even a culture in of itself, answering the Beit Yosef's question. Of course, one of the answers, which I mentioned because I want to show something interesting in the Rishonim that I think expresses it well. One of the answers given is that you have to think how they lit this Pach Shemen. Meaning, did they light it all on the first day? Or did they split into eights? So if they lit it all on the first day, then the first day was not a miracle. But if they split it into eights, then
every day
was a miracle. So go figure how they lit it. But let's see the Rishonim.
Do you have any historical basis for knowing that?
The historical basis for the whole miracle is.
You
want to start the basis for where they bought the oil? You know what I'm saying? One day we'll find it in an amulet in the Harabayas if somebody writes it and puts it there. Do people remember when they found that Joseph Conan amulet? Did anyone stop for a second and say, we haven't found one word incomplete, and here we have all of Joseph Conan exactly? We're just so anxious to find these things that when we find them, no one's going to hesitate to wonder. Yeah. It was fake. It was called an annual. It was a forgery. Yeah.
And so in America, the Rav, the whole thing is the celebration of the Rabbanon. In other words, this is the very fact that we believe the Rabbanon established it because that nature took place.
But
the Minhag HaRav, in America, the Rav, is that Hanukkah is the very Torah given by the Talmidim, not the Rabbanon.
Since it's the Rabbanon, the rabbis, you already had enough. Now we're giving you the Torah. Okay? It could just be the Rabbanon want a little break. Hanukkah, all the kids are home from school, you think they can prepare anything? I'm just speaking from experience, you know. You wonder how you get started. This holiday, all the Talmidim are going to keep the Beit Torah. In any case, so the Pre-Chadash's answer, which is also pretty famous, is
where are we?
The Pre-Chadash and his peers in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, which doesn't appear on the sheets because it's not on the discs. The world of discs, we've become lazy. But the truth is, it doesn't need to appear because it's just a short line where he says this. He doesn't develop it at last. What he says is that the reason we celebrate the first day of Hanukkah is not because of the Neirot. The first day is celebrated because of the victory. On the second day and on, we celebrate because of the Neirot. So here we see how the two events are generating the same halachot, but one event is generating those halachot on the first day, and the other event is generating those halachot on, so they're working together, but still separately. The truth is, according to this explanation, the Gemara in Shabbat isn't asking why we celebrate Hanukkah. It's asking why we celebrate Hanukkah a full 8 days. And the truth is, as we noted when we read the Gemara focuses on, so back to page 1 for a second, it focuses on Yomei de Hanukkah Tamnaya Inun. It focuses on the existence of the 8 days. And its conclusion, Kfa'um Ba'atha'um Yomim Tovim, plural. And the truth is, turning back to page 4, the Rif actually has the number 8 in the Gemara's conclusion. The Shana Acheret, Kva'um Chet Yamin Tovim. The Torah as well. Kva'um Chet Yamin Tovim. That's what the Gemara is trying to explain. The Rif goes on to explain, by the way, that we say Halal V'Hodah each day of Hanukkah, each day being a separate Nes. O'ilu v'chol yom v'yom haya ha'nes mitchadesh be'oto pach shel shelem. Each day of Hanukkah, a new Nes. Tosfot says something similar in explaining why we say full Hallel every day of Hanukkah. We know of two yamim tovim midoraisa that are longer than one day. What are the two yamim tovim?
Pesach
and Sukkot. What's the difference between the relationship between the days of Sukkot versus Pesach? That's an expression of this question. Pesach is really one day with a continuation for a week. The first day of Pesach is the real McCoy. That's why we say half Hallel the other days. And by the way, it makes sense historically because Pesach is coming to commemorate an event that happened on the first day. Sukkot, each day is equally significant. That's why we say full Hallel, and the basis for this in the Torah is the fact that the Karbanot are unique with the number of Parim, right? Okay, and that's why we say full. And of course Sukkot, the reason each day is equal is because none of the days are any better. Did we sit in Sukkot on Tet in Vav Tishrei or Tet Zion Tishrei or Yud Zion Tishrei? Equal. This has major implications also, I think, for how the Yom Yom Tov conclude the need for a Shmini Atzeret on Sukkot. Not Pesach, but in any case, we're not talking about Pesach. It's called
Atzeret.
It's called Atzeret, but of course, you don't have a watering down of the Yom Tov because it's already been watered down after the first day. In any case, came back to Hanukkah. Like Sukkot, or like Pesach? Of course, we know the answer from Hallel. It's like Sukkot, full Hallel each day. Tosfos explains that Sukkot and Hanukkah are similar since each day is significant. Kol chet yamin. Haya hanes mitgadel. Haya kol chad v'chad yom tov. Of course, the connection between Sukkot and Hanukkah in this regard, we see in the famous explanation of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai holds that we start with 8 candles and go down to 1. He'll debate that, and they bring different prototypes for their explanations, and the prototype that Beit Shammai brings is Pariachad. See, look, how does the Torah suggest that we distinguish between different days of the Yom Tov? You go down in number. Let's go down in number in Hanukkah. And the Avudram summarizes this by saying, Spanish Rishonim, that the reason we say full Hallel, and the reason we light a different number of candles each night, is because Yesh b'kol echad mehem davar chadash, shehu ner echad yoter. Just going back for a second, the Rishonim is supposed to say something very similar, that each day being distinct, but they use a different verb. What's the difference between the verb of the Rif and the verb of Tosfot? The Rif says that each day the Nes was? Tosfot said each day the Nes was? Which one was it? Depends how they lit the oil. If they lit an eighth each day, then the Nes was? Mitchadesh. If they lit the whole thing on the first day, and little by little there was less, yet it lasted a full day, each day the Nes was? So you wanted some historical commentary here. Again, so
because there was a great miracle that less oil continues to burn that long?
Yes, yeah, so Tosfos and the Rif, I wouldn't exactly consider historians about a period that was 1500 years before them, but they at least clearly had two different historical takes on the event. So all this is in the context of the explanation of the Pri Chadash, which fits very nicely for Rashi, that both of the events are basis for the celebration. One for the first day, the other for the other days. As for comments, we're going to take a look at the second approach in Rashi, which really comes out of the Sefer Ner Mitzvah, which may sound like some Sefer printed last week in Bnei Brak. Does anyone know what the Ner Mitzvah is?
No.
Maral Sefer or Chanukah. Sorry?
Doesn't that have 100 answers to the big
Sefer? No, that's a different Sefer. Uh-huh. This is the Maral.
Uh-huh.
This is the Maral. The Maral, classic. So we'll see the Maral in a moment. Yeah.
According to Avodah Zarah, it says, Yesh b'chol achad mehem zavoch adash,
right.
That's our
commemoration. Right. It's showing the uniqueness of
it. But according to the Gemara, this is a way out way of celebrating because it's near Ishi Beitar.
You're saying that way out is unnecessary.
Yes, and mm-hmm. it would seem that if the Gemara spelled it out that way, that that wasn't the majority way of doing it.
So you're saying you're upset with Mr. Stoll's choice of the shir because the other title I suggested was Neri Shubeto. You don't want to get, I'm focused on Mahadrim, extra Neros. You want us to go back and learn Neri Shubeto.
So yes, B'tavo Chadash Munei Achad Yotzeh. Chances are,
most people to formulate your question, is it so important to highlight the uniqueness of each day of Hanukkah, how could it be relegated to Mahadrim and Mahadrim? Well, the truth is, right, Mahadrim and Mahadrim. Well, the answer could very well be that as much as we aim to express the idea, it's not absolutely ma'akev in the mitzvah. I'll give you an example. The shaking of the luluf is a beautiful part of what the luluf expresses. But it's not ma'akev. So we always have to decide when formulating a mitzvah what we're going to demand and what we're going to request. And of course, the flip side to what you're saying is the interesting fact that Jews have been ma'akev for the Mahadrim and Mahadrim of Hanukkah far more than any other mitzvah. Maybe it's because of an understanding of how truly significant that Mahadrim and Mahadrim is. But even before you get to the Neirot, Hallel, of course, expresses the uniqueness of each day. And I think people intuitively get a little frustrated when we start saying full Hallel on Hanukkah. Like, how could this be any good on Rosh Chodesh? What is this? Pesach? Sukkot? It's not even Pesach. What are we saying Lalama for? How could this be? We're just rolling through Hallel, so... You see the greatness of each day of Hanukkah, right? And the truth is, I think part of the lesson to learn from this is to seek to appreciate each day of Hanukkah independently. I don't think most people do that. Rivas for Shabbat spoke about the uniqueness of what the message of Nerot Hanukkah is on Shabbat Hanukkah, as opposed to the other days. There it's obviously a lot easier. But to seek to try and understand what each day has to teach. Okay. So, the Maharal. The Maharal discusses this question of the relationship between the two Nisim. And he raises different options of how to reconcile, and then concludes by emphatically taking the following position. V'od yesh loma, she'ikar ma shekavu yemei Chanukah, v'shvil she'ayu menatzchim et ha'ivanim. Chanukah is because of the victory. Rak she'lo haya nireh lehem, she'aya kan nitzachon hazeh, al yidei neish she'atzaze Hashem yitbarach. But it wasn't clear that it was indeed a nace from Hashem as opposed to their own strength. Question that's still unclear in Israel today. First night of Hanukkah, Beit HaNasi, they invite all the greatest athletes of Israel to light the candles. What's the understanding behind that? Hanukkah celebrates our victory over the Greeks. There's an insistence in Israel that every year on Hanukkah, Maccabi, Tel Aviv schedules a game against Panathinaikos, the Greek basketball team. And so the real question of Bayamim Ha'im Bazman Hazeh is whether our four American college basketball players who didn't make it in the NBA can beat four American college basketball players who didn't make it in the NBA. And the truth is it's usually three American college players who didn't make it in the NBA and one who did and is washed up. What really helps American Olim is you can see the same basketball players you followed as a kid. The same ones. I remember when Bobby Thompson, the great scorer for the Nuggets, when he made Aliyah. And Eric Petrella has been Bobby Ray Richardson. It was great. You know, you get to see all your old stars. Bob McAdoo, you know, came to play for Maccabi Tel Aviv. So in any case...
They didn't do so well against the Knicks a couple of months ago.
Right. Even though they had Rav Grossman's brother, you would have thought... but... What I'm trying to say is, even with Mizman Hazeh, it's unclear. It's unclear what the basis of the miracle was. L'fikach nasa ha'nes al yidei nerot ha'menorah. She'yidu ha'kosh haya b'nes min Hashem yitbarach. V'kacha v'nkama. שיהיו מנצחים ישראל היה מן השם יתברך. Again, בימים הם בזמן הזה, if the world has explanations that it uses to explain the miracles of 1948 and 1967, there were explanations then too. So yeah, there was a war, and it was a nes min ha-shamayim, but was it clear that it was a nes min ha-shamayim? The Pach HaShemen was significant not as a basis for the holiday, but as a way of revealing the basis for the holiday. And I think that this is the Pashuk Pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam we were reading before, reprinted again, the bottom of page 4. Rambam talks about Yemei Simcha Lahalo, talks about lighting the Neros, Madlikin Ben HaNerot Be'erev HaPitzchei HaBatim, Leharot U'Legalot HaNes. To show and to reveal the Nes. What needs to be revealed? you show the nes of the lighting of the candles, right? It shows the nes very clearly. Maybe the legalot is referring to the nes of the milchama. Laharot ulegalot hanes. So this is a very different type of approach. Why do we say halal on Hanukkah? Because of the milchama, because of the pach hashemen. Both, on every day. The pach hashemen is what shows us the nes inherent within the milchama. So look how far we've come from the Rambam. Two stories, two narratives with two sets of halachot. So Rashi, where they're working together, either like the Pri Chadash, together but on different days, or like the Maharal, where one defines, reveals the other. Yeah.
Yeah, but the reason is so because of the Milchama. The Milchama, according to Maharal, is primary.
Right.
The Nes is totally,
correct.
It's totally secondary. You wouldn't say Hallel on the Nes. You would just say Hallel on the Milchama.
We could also be saying Hallel, thanking Hashem for giving us the Nes which showed us it was Him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's what he's saying, yeah. So this would be a great place to end the shiur. But we have another sheet. So the shiur must continue. Very technical before, he said, are these the Makaros? I said, they obviously are. You know, and it has happened where I've come to shiur and been given different Makaros. Yeah, I sent one Makaros, and then they lost the file. They were embarrassed, so they went online somewhere and found another file. And had my name on it. You always have to be ready. Marines. You have to be ready whenever, you know, whenever they give you. It has happened. This shiur is actually what I did send. The last sheet deals with a question. It's really just a natural spin-off of this. If the significance of the Nes Pach HaShemen wasn't showing them that the war was a victory from God, well, why was this mechanism chosen? I could have suggested a great alternative. Could you imagine if right after the military victory, right across the sky appeared this miracle from me, God. Now, today that would be significant, but then before Sirens, could you imagine? Do you think anyone would have any doubts? Again, I go back to the way you had to do it, but fire from the sky. I mean,
Christians do that.
Christians have those.
So Constantine did something, they have fire around Christians.
There you go. So why couldn't we get a good Constantine miracle? Or in other words, the question I'm really asking is, what's unique about the menorah as a vehicle for expressing this idea?
And I think it goes back.
Yeah.
I suggest it goes back to what Mar said about the original Nes of Shem.
So, if you had the sheet...
What I need light to make the mikvah.
I said, the Gemara and Shabbos. If you had the sheet, I would accuse you of looking ahead and using that information. But because you don't, so it's obviously a sign of your true knowledge. I agree with that approach. But I think the Gemara you're referring to really starts before the Gemara. It starts before the Gemara. So I want to take it a step back before the Gemara. I want to go back to the very beginning of God's relationship with the Jewish people. And in fact, God's relationship with Jewish persons. The first, Abraham. The Brit Ben Abtarim, right? Abraham is told Hashem wants to make a treaty with him. Cut animals in half. And you and I will pass between them. The symbolism being passing between two parts of an organic whole shows coming together. Of course, we do this today at weddings. Zebras on each side. The two people come together. So Abram cuts the animals, walks in between. In what form does God pass in between the animals? First source on page 5. Yes, Shemesh Bava, Lata, Yab, Yinei, Tanura, Shan, Zalapidesh. Sheravar, Ben, Azarim, Hayim. Time to redeem the Jewish people. God appears to Moshe to tell him that he's here to take the Jews out of Egypt. What form does God's appearance take? Nebo Erba'esh. God leads the Jews out of Egypt. His Shechina appears in the form of Amud Anan, Amud Esh. The Jews build a Mishkan. They make a Korbanos. They want to see Hashra'at Hashchina. What form does it take? Sarim in Hashemayim. Divrayam in Bet. Shlomo's Tefillah, Chanukat HaMikdash, fire comes down in the Shemayim. This is, of course, the significance of the mitzvah in Vayikra Perek Vav, the mitzvah to maintain the fire on the Mizbeach, that it shouldn't go out. Why is that so significant? Because the fire on the Mizbeach is a continuation of God's fire in the Shemayim, the Shechina. This can also explain a little bit more the seriousness, the gravity of Nadav and Avihu introducing a foreign fire, because we don't start the fire, we keep going. It's God's fire, we don't mix fire with fire. The fire is always a representation of the Shekhinah, which makes a lot of sense. The Shekhinah can't be seen, the cloud, and it can't be touched, fire. So now, we can apply this to the menorah on page 6. The menorah in Shemot Perek of Zion, in the first Tetzaveh, is described as a Lahalot Ner Tamid. The Ner Tamid. The Gemara that was quoted, Shabbat Achav Bet on the bed, and interestingly, it's a Gemara within the Sugya of Hanukkah, which asks, V'chila Orahu Tzarech, if God needs the light of our menorah, V'alo Kol Avim Shana Shalchu B'nei Yisrael Nevar, Lo Chu El Lo The purpose of the menorah was a testimony of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. My Edut Amarav, Zu Ner Ma'aravi, Shenotein Bashemek Midat Chavroteha, Umimena Yamadlik Uvayam Sayen. We put the same amount of oil in each of the menorah, all of the wicks were lit from the westernmost candle, and it would outlast all the others. That's the ever-ready candle. That's what people remember. It just kept going. And the truth is that this Ner Tamid we eternalize in the shuls, right? The Ner Tamid front, you ever walk at the shul, and it's all dark and the light's on. The Ner Tamid. Now as a kid who doesn't know much about different switches, that's very impressive.
For that particular line.
Right. Well, as we grow up, we begin to understand more about the Nisim we thought of as kids, and the question is whether we start believing there are no Nisim. That's important to...
Isn't there a significant difference between Eish and Ner?
Mm-hmm.
And we're very careful with Halacha, Hilchos Chanukah, that you said, the wicks should not be together.
There are definitely differences between the Eish and the Mizbeach and the Ner and the Menorah, but despite those differences, there is a similarity. And I would say that the Eish and the Mizbeach is representative of God's presence in the Mikdash, in the Mishkan. The light on the Menorah was evidence of the Shekhinah connected to the people as a people. Because the Mizbeach, that's part of the Bayit. The Menorah, that seems to have been, as the Gemara explains, directed to us as individuals. And again, that serves as the backdrop to eventually where it turns into all of our homes. Now just to take that Gemara further, Gemara in Yoma, the Flamateta Manalus tells us that this miracle of the Neirot, amongst other miracles that took place in the Beit Mikdash, existed during Bayit Rishon, existed during the tenure of Shimon HaTzadik, right? He was a righteous Kohen in the Beit Mikdash and Bayit Sheni, but after he died, the miracle started fluctuating, flickering. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Which miracle started fluctuating?
The many miracles, including the Ner Ma'aravi Dolek, the third line. When did Shimon HaTzadik live? The Gemara later on in Yom HaTzadik tells us that Shimon HaTzadik, at the end of his life, met Alexandros Mukden, Alexander the Great, when he brought the Persian-Greek conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Or in other words, Shimon HaTzadik was the last of the Kohanim before the Persian Hellenist conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Why is that significant? Because as we know, the Greeks did not fight against Judaism. They attempted to reformulate Judaism. And the root of their statement, not getting into this at length, I'll speak about this later this morning, but the root of their statement was expressed by a famous Gemara, a famous Medrash, that compares Galut Yavon to Choshech, that they forced the Jews to write on the horn of an ox, Ein lechem chelek v'elokei Yisrael. It's a strange thing to ask them to write. On the one hand, a recognition of God, on the other hand, asking them to denounce a relationship with him or deny a relationship with him. The Greeks recognized the Jewish people, Jewish culture. They recognized multicultural existence. What they're against is some belief of being a higher people based on a special relationship with God. And many, many Jews bought into this philosophy. We have our culture, we have our ritual. A few years ago I saw the choreographed film Lights. For kids, but does a much better job of explaining what Hanukkah was about than most of the things I've seen for adults. I liked it because Judd Hirsch, the guy from Taxi, was the narrator. You know, if you follow Taxi, he's the person you grow up as a role model. He was the same voice, responsible. You know, there was anything Judd Hirsch, what's his last name?
Judd Hirsch.
Right, yeah. He was a narrator. When he tells me about Hanukkah, I trust him. You know, even Leo has to listen to, you know, to Judd Hirsch. So in any case, many Jews accepted this reformulation. Ein lanu chelek alekeisa. So obviously, the miracle of the Ner, which was God's way of confirming the unique relationship, if the Jews themselves doubt that relationship, that Ner is going to start to flicker. To flicker out. Now, along come the Chashmonaim, and they say, Mil Hashem Elai, we do have this relationship. We're going to be victorious because of the relationship. And lo and behold, they're victorious. But now the question starts, why were they victorious?
Why were they
victorious? Was their victory a sign of their religious messianism being correct? Right? The menorah suddenly, which had always represented that, now the nace occurs in a much broader fashion. And that's what's used to confirm the message, the belief that they had, just like it had always confirmed and expressed that idea. This idea is found in the Pnei Yoshua on the Sefer Shabbat, which is interesting because what you're used to finding in the Pnei Yoshua. He asks why they insisted on using tahor oil if Tumah Hutra V'Tzibur. And he says that the whole purpose of this was to bring back the nace that showed the unique relationship between the Jews and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that could not be brought back with Tamei oil. And he goes through the history of how it had represented the relationship and how it had flickered out with Shimon HaTzadik and the Greeks had convinced the Jews that they didn't have this special relationship. Yeah, last source here on page 6. He goes through this last part of the announcement, not the Tanakh part of the Gishnah and Sarah Deception, because the issue was a from guy, I mean, the Tanakh, right? I'm saying, the start from the Gemara down, which is Mutter, you know, as a Talmudist, so that part he quotes. And so this, I think, adds something to our understanding of why this nace was chosen, and more importantly, how people who experienced it then understood what it meant. How they put the pieces of the puzzle together. You can talk about why God chose what he chose. You can talk about how people understood once these things happened. And it seems that what they understood was that the nace of the menorah was the greatest confirmation of the Yeshua being from Hashem, which is something worth celebrating. We don't celebrate Yeshua because we were saved, which is fair, you know, worthwhile celebrating. What we really celebrate is the fact that this Yeshua is a sign of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. Much like Sukkot. On Sukkot, we do not celebrate the agricultural harvest. We celebrate the fact that Hashem has helped us with the agricultural harvest, which is far more worth celebrating than the harvest itself. Even on harvest terms, meaning if you got lucky and had a good harvest, so you're happy, but you have no reason to be confident about next year's harvest. If you attribute the success of your harvest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's aid, then you have a lot to be happy about. And the same here. The Yeshua is significant, obviously, for being saved, but more significant because of what it indicates as far as the viability, vitality of the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so this is something worth considering when we ourselves focus on the tension between the reality of our lives, the challenges we face, the Yeshuas we experience, and the spiritual side of our life. Is Hanukkah a spiritual holiday where people give drushas about the significance of the Ora Menorah? Generally not based on the Pesukim and the Gemaras, but you know, the Ora Torah and the Ora this, and something says like, maybe the Israelis have it right, it's Maccabi. Like, what is it? Is it military victory or a spiritual message? And of course, the answer of the final approach is that the two, if appreciated properly, are linked to one another. That, in and of itself, is a very important message. So, hopefully this helps us appreciate the last few days of Chanukah a little bit more, and hopefully we shall all celebrate the Chatzrot Kachecha. Hanukkah Sameach.
You said you're speaking later on.
In half an hour.
Where?
In YU, in Kol Yom Rishon. Okay.